Baum, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And if you ever want to have me paged, my name is Kenny Delmar. Tonight we bring you the man of the year for 1929, a bad year. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Everybody from Missouri is coming to Washington. Covered wagons are leaving Kansas City on the half hour.
Well, who's left in Missouri, Fred?
Well, nobody, Kenny. Next year, Missouri isn't going to bother electing a governor. They're just going to hire a caretaker to walk through the state with a lantern one night a week, I hear. Our friends in Allen's Alley will be nickel to death to see us tonight.
Have you a question?
Wait a minute. Let me read that again. Our friends will be nickel to death. No, it's the line. I thought it was my reading. Well, Portland. We'd be better off just showing up with some blank paper here. And so our question tonight is, how do you feel about Mayor LaGuardia's return to private life?
Shall we go?
As the man said when he saw the lighted cigarette on the floor, let's step on it. Gosh, Portland, it's good to be back in Allen's Alley. Well, let's see what Titus Moody is up to tonight.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, Mr. Moody, you look shorter tonight.
First time I ever wore a union suit and stockings.
Well, what makes you look shorter?
It's trying to keep up my stockings.
Your stockings?
Yeah. This little door hangs down on the back of the union suit.
Well, I know.
When I button that door onto my stocking,
yes,
it pulls me down 6 inches.
Yes, it'll do it every time. Well, Mr. Moody, what do you think about Mayor LaGuardia leaving office?
Why, he's been a good mayor, what there is of him.
Well, what kind of work do you think he should go in for?
He'd be a good man on a farm, Bub.
Well, how do you mean?
He's the only man I know that can milk a cow standing up.
Tell me, Mr. Moody, do you think the mayor is sorry to go?
Oh, I know just how he feels, Bub.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I used to be mayor in my town.
You were the mayor?
Yeah, but I wasn't no LaGuardia.
You mean?
After working around the farm for 30 years...
Yes?
I didn't smell like no little flower. Come on, Bob.
It's too bad Mr. Moody isn't sheriff. He could pinch himself and see if he's awake. Well, let's see what happens at this next house.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum. Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about Mayor LaGuardia retiring from City Hall?
I'm writing about Mayor LaGuardia, a farewell poem.
A farewell poem. How does your ode to the mayor go?
I'm reciting it.
Fine.
The time is coming, Fiorello, to saying goodbye to you. For 12 long years in office, progress was your goal. But there is yet a housing shortage, and the subway is still in the hole. On your radio program Sunday, you were in a fighting mood, crushing down on gamblers and bookies, shouting patient with fortitude. You explained to us the OPA, told us bargains to get by Macy, gave recipes for pasta fazool. You also read Dick Tracy. The city hall you are leaving, to you our hats we doff. Goodbye, dear Mayor LaGuardia. Good luck and mazel tov.
And as the sun slowly sinks behind our beloved mayor, we say adieu to City Hall and turn to the five DeMarco sisters. The girls accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman and his sanitation. Maestro Al Goodman and his Fanny Farmer Fusiliers have just played a few sweet bars of symphony.
And now, say, Portland.
Yes?
Have you an aspirin?
An aspirin?
Something's wrong with my stomach.
If you button your coat, nobody will notice it.
Now, wait. Never mind that Eddie Cantor comedy. I am in agony.
Well, what's wrong?
Well, tomorrow night, I am going on Information, Please, with Gregory Ratoff. You know, the big director at 20th Century Fox? And yesterday, Mr. Ratoff gave me 2 passes for the Roxy Theater to see the new 20th Century Fox picture, Leave It to Heaven. It was wonderful. Technicolor and
everything. How did you get sick?
Well, after I left the Roxy, Mr. Ratoff invited me to meet him for a Russian dinner at a little restaurant in the village called the Shashlik Shanty. Well, I went down to the Shashlik Shanty. As I walked in the door, the Gypsy Orchestra was just finishing a number. Had a noisy clientele at the shanty. Well, as I looked around, I heard a voice saying,
"Waiter, I want this dinner should be colossal, terrific, sensational."
"Anything else, sir?"
"Yes. Also, the food should be fit to eat."
Gregory Ratoff. Say, you look excited, Gregory.
I am just ordering the dinner.
And how I'm looking forward to it, Gregory.
Fred, have you ever eaten a Russian meal?
Plenty of food, huh?
A Russian banquet is like a 6-day bicycle race, only with stomachs.
Only with... Well, what happens?
Well, before the dinner starts, we drink a toast to the chef.
Fine.
Then we are drinking a toast to each individual guest.
I see.
Next, a toast to all of the friends of the guests who are not there at the banquet.
That's a nice gesture.
Then we drink a toast to the friends of the friends who are not there.
Say, this sounds like a testimonial dinner to W.C. Fields. How many more toasts are there?
Well, we drink a toast to all of the toasts we have drunk. And then the banquet begins.
You start with the food, eh?
Yeah. First, you are getting the zakuska. In English, this is hors d'oeuvres.
Caviar?
Ah, caviar is for the waiters.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the guests are having pickled mushrooms, pickled smelts, pickled cabbage, pickled herring, pickled pancakes, pickled eggs, and pickled kumquats.
Pickled kumquats, huh? Well, after all those toasts, the guests must be pickled, too. Tell me, what comes next?
All kind of soups.
What kind?
Borscht.
Borscht?
You see, borscht is a beet soup with sour cream.
I see. Well, what is that schmetana with sour cream?
That is sour cream with, on the top, more sour cream.
Well, fine. Tell me, do you have fish with a Russian dinner?
First, they are serving you 2 big cucumbers. This must be. It's a tradition.
You have to have 2 big cucumbers, eh? Well, why?
Well, for fish you are getting on the plate, a live sturgeon.
A live sturgeon?
Yeah. You are beating the sturgeon to death with a 2 cucumbers.
This is some dinner.
Well, for the next course, the meat, you are standing up.
You're standing up? Well, what is the meat course?
Baked polar bear in the jacket.
Polar bear in the jacket, huh? And you say you have to stand?
Well, the bear is served reading cup on his hind legs with kidney beans.
With kidney... Well, don't tell me that each diner gets an individual polar bear.
Oh, no, no. It is 4 people to a bear.
Oh! Four people to a bear.
Yeah. You start with the bare feet and you reach in cup as far as you can reach.
A short guest is out of luck, then.
Well,
isn't he?
It's better to be tall. You are eating farther up on the bear.
Well, what comes with the bear, Gregory?
Oh, all kinds of side dishes, you know, wheel omelets, boiled potatoes with raspberry jam, raw eggplant, walrus and casserole, penguin gratin, pot roast stuffed with meatballs, and buckwheat cakes, with plenty of corn syrup.
This ends the meal?
Oh, no, no. After this, you're having a dessert.
Oh, dessert? Well, what is dessert?
A loaf of pumpernickel floating lazily in a heaping bowl of honey.
Yum, yum.
Well, on the top of the pumpernickel is a big gob of whipped cream.
Oh, that's fine.
Well, this you are washing down with a piping hot glass of tea.
Say, a Russian dinner must be wonderful, Gregory. What are we having here at the Shashlik Shanty tonight?
Ham and eggs.
Ham and eggs?
Ah, that Russian food ruins my stomach. I'm always taking Alka-Seltzer.
Oh, really? How do people in Russia know about Alka-Seltzer?
Lend-lease.
Oh, lend-lease. Well, you and I are going to be on information, please, tomorrow night. Greg, I wonder what questions they'll ask us.
Ah, who knows? I hope it is something about Russia and the Big Three.
Well, Russia is certainly progressing. They're copying American mass production methods, automobiles, ice boxes.
Russia is behind the times in only one thing, the radio.
You mean they have no radio programs over there like ours?
When I go to Russia, I would like to take some American programs with me.
Say, that's a great idea. American radio should be a novelty in Russia.
Say, how about the smiling Irishman? Do you think the smiling Irishman would suffer in the translation?
Suffer in the translation? Well, in Russia, you might have to call him the snickering Siberian, the chuckling Caucasian, or the jolly Georgian. But here's a commercial, Gregory. Let's see how the smiling Irishman would sound in Moscow.
Добрый вечер, дорогие друзья и товарищи, мамочка моя дорогая. Это ваш старый друг и приятель. Если вам нужны деньги, привозите ваш Chevrolet. Всегда помните, что у вас всегда used car. И от меня вы всегда получите top prices. Не забывайте, что я переехал в новое место, куда вы можете приехать на вашем автомобиле 271 Литвинов Бульвар in the back. Не забывайте вашего старого друга Дальзасинг Литвак Пола Литвак.
Tell me, what other type program do you think they might like in Russia?
News commentators. You know, the Russians are crazy about the gossip.
Well, for gossip, there's only one guy. Now, here's how he might sound in Russia. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Soviet Russia and all the autonomous republics. This is your Moscow correspondent, Waldovich Winchelkovich. Let's go to press. Moscow, Russia. What assistant district manager of what tractor combine is making a fool of himself over that little blonde steel puddler from Kakhov? They were seen necking near the Dnieper hydroelectric dam Friday night. More power to them. It's a blessed event for the Sergei Mensheviks. She is the former Miss Collective Farms for 1937. He is the crossword puzzle editor and financial advisor of Pravda. An orchid to plant superintendent S. Karnofsky. He is responsible for this month's sensational 30% rise in the production of balalaika picks. This is the same Karnofsky who only last year won the Shostakovich Award for his outstanding work on trombone valves. And now to answer the mail as the time allows. Nikolai Petrovich, 327 Potemkin Plaza, Smolensk. So are you, comrade. Well, that's all for tonight, Tavarachi. This is Mrs. Winchelkovich's boy, Waldovich, saying, be proud you are a Russian, because when you are a Russian, you are a Russian. Well, that should keep Moscow up to date, Gregory.
You know, I wonder if that was the same little steel puddle from Kharkov who went to the Dnieper Dam with me in 1912. Oh, no, it couldn't be. She'd be 85 years old now.
Oh, man. Well, Gregory, can you think of any other American programs the Russian folks would go for?
Yes, Fred. Cereals.
Cereals? You really think they'd like cereal programs over there?
With all that suffering and tragedy, they will go crazy for the cereal, Fred.
Really?
A true Russian is never so happy as when he's unhappy.
Well, all right, Gregory. Now, here is how a Russian cereal might sound. And now we present Just Plain Misha.
When we left Just Plain Misha yesterday, he was in a sorry plight.
He had 24 hours to decide whether he should marry Masha Krasotkin, the poor little gypsy girl who saved his life when his threshing machine bundled him into a bale of hay. Or marry wealthy Sonia Grumpkin, daughter of Commissar Grumpkin. Life with Masha will be poverty, black bread and skimmed milk. Life with Sonia will be luxury, seltzer water, anchovies, and rich food. It is hard to choose. Today we find just plain Misha at the door of Masha Krasotkin's hut. Misha knocks. Masha opens the door.
Misha!
Masha!
Come in, Misha.
Spasiba, Masha.
The family is all here waiting, Misha.
Waiting for what, Masha?
The inevitable. In Russia, what else is there to wait for?
Yeah, only the inevitable.
Ничего, Misha.
Ничего, Masha.
Oh.
Who is mourning, Masha?
Grandpa Boris, the old one. His leg is in the fire.
Why doesn't he move?
Why doesn't he move? Why should he move? He lives here. True, Misha.
True, Masha.
Oh.
Grandpa Boris is mourning again.
His other leg is in the fire.
He is cremating himself.
At least he is warm. Leave him.
You have plenty of trouble, Masha.
Trouble, Misha. There is no food. The mice are eating his otter.
A man just looked out of the oven.
It is Uncle Igor. We are having him for dinner. Everything is trouble, Misha.
I have more trouble for you, Masha.
More trouble, Misha?
Yes, Masha. Our wedding is off. I am going to marry Sonia.
Well, life is a pill, you swallow it. Drink a glass of tea, Misha.
I am drinking, Masha.
Now you are having trouble, Misha.
Trouble, Masha?
The tea is poison, Misha.
A black year on you, Masha.
You are angry, Misha?
Serving me poison tea, I could overlook.
Da, Misha.
But this is Russia. When you serve tea without lemon, you should drop dead.
I will.
She did. Goodbye, Bublichki. And I'll miss you, Masha.
Well, those cereals would be great in Russia, Gregory. People would be killing themselves off. You'd have a new family on the air every other day. Well, I guess that takes care of most of your problems, Greg, old boy.
Just one more thing, Fred.
Another program?
Jingles. I would like to introduce some of these singing jingles to Russia.
All right. When jingles hit the Moscow network, you'll hear something like this.
Vodka Cola is the new drink that is good for the proletariat. For only a ruble, you get a lot. Vodka Cola hits the spot. Ruble, 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 ruble.
Fred Allen will be back again next week. And now we take you to the Cafe Zanzibar for the music of...
In the January issue of Cosmopolitan Magazine, ladies and gentlemen, the so-called star of this program was selected as the Cosmopolite of the Month. He's been called about everything else, but this month he's a Cosmopolite. And here he is, Fred Allen!
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And, Kenny, that story about me in Cosmopolitan, written by H. Allen Smith, turned out quite well, I thought.
Yeah, you know, Fred, all of the magazines seem to be saluting people each month.
They're always saluting. I've noticed that.
Yeah, the Time magazine made President Truman the Man of the Year in January.
You know, I hear Time is making Mayor LaGuardia the Man of the Month for February. It's a short month, I think. The Hobo, the other magazines are still going full blast. The Hobo News is making Jack Benny the Tramp of the Month. Pick is picking the Punk of the Month. And the Poultry Journal may be... Well, Portland. You want to cut in, Portland? Kenny and I are talking about magazines saluting different people. Has anyone in your family ever been honored by a magazine?
Well, last year, the Police Gazette chose Mama as Miss Patrol Wagon for 1945.
Miss Patrol Wagon, huh? Is that... I'll laugh at it. At least you got me. Is that a camp stool you have with you there?
It's for Mama. She's standing in line.
Standing in line for what?
Mama doesn't know whether she's going to see the picture at the Roxy, get a ticket for Florida, or end up with a pair of nylons.
She doesn't know?
Mama just saw a long line and got in it.
Oh, well, that's the trouble with the country today, Portland. Half of the people are standing in line to buy things. The other half is standing in line picketing. But aren't you... just a mild demonstration, if any. We work it up as we go along. When Mr. Jessel arrives, big things happen. But tell me, aren't you, Portland, aren't you cold with those liquid stockings on?
No, I always mix in a little antifreeze.
Oh, with the... There's only one trouble with liquid stockings in the winter. If it gets hot all of a sudden, you've got a shoe full of stocking. You never can tell.
Last week, Mama drank some liquid stockings by mistake.
Drank some? Didn't it bother her?
For 2 days, she hiccuped Bobby socks. Okay.
I know a man who drank a whole bottle of liquid stockings accidentally.
Was he sick?
No, but he had to swallow a garter to hold his stomach up. That was the last time he saw Paris. And speaking of garters, when you've got to go to Allen's Alley, you've got to go. Remind me to give the writers more money. These women, they got to go. These women...
Ready?
A question? You bet. You know, this past week, strikes closed most of the meatpacking plants throughout the country, shutting off the country's supply of meat. And so our question tonight is, if you have been unable to get your quota, how have you been coping with the meat shortage?
Shall we go?
As the electric fan said when somebody turned it on, I think I'll blow. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. I guess the senator's home all right. His bullwhip is coiled up on the front step there.
Somebody knocked.
Now look, Senator.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn.
I know your name. You're from the South.
I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dallas.
You're
a... Yeah, on the radio, I'll never listen to thanks to the Yanks.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, speak up, son. What's on your mind?
Well, if I only...
Go ahead and talk.
Well,
son.
All I'm trying to do is...
Well, the war's over, son. Today, loose lips ain't sinking ships.
I'm just trying to get a word here.
Open your mouth, son. I've heard more conversation coming out of a knot hole.
You're winded, hey?
Only momentarily, son.
Good. Now, I'll get in here. What about this meat strike?
I brought it up in my house. Pay attention now, son. I heard quail loose talk. Loose talk, that's a joke, son.
I know it's a joke. I don't care.
That was a Birmingham belly buster.
Now, wait a minute.
You should be yucking. You ain't even smirking.
I don't even get a chance to smirk.
Hold up, son. You don't get it. You're from back country.
Now, look, Senator. What about this meat problem?
Well, the nation's capital will have plenty of meat for everybody.
Well, where is Washington going to get this meat?
Son, there's 130 million Americans.
Yes?
And today, every American is sending his beef to Washington. So long, sir.
Well, the senator has a head like a pot roast. It brings back happy memories. Well, I hope Titus Moody is still up tonight. Now, let's see.
Howdy, Bob.
Yeah. Your exhaust is working well, Mr. Moody. You feel all right? You look a little shaky.
Boy, was I stiff last night.
Drinking?
No. Somebody put starch in my bath water.
You have a bathtub in the house?
No. Every Saturday night, I take a can of Dutch cleanser and lower myself down into the well.
In this cold weather?
No. During the winter, I don't slop around in the well.
Well, how do you keep clean?
Once a week, I go over myself with a eraser and a whisk broom.
Well, how about the meat shortage?
Oh, that don't bother me none. I'm a vegetarian.
Well, haven't you ever tasted meat?
Only once. That cured me.
What happened?
About 20 years ago, a city fella come around selling rabbits.
And you bought one?
Yeah. He gave me the rinky-dink.
The old R.D., hey?
Yeah.
Well, how do you mean?
He was dishonest.
Dishonest, huh?
Yeah, looked like a rabbit, cooked like a rabbit, tasted like a rabbit.
What makes you think it wasn't?
Well, for 2 weeks after I ate the rabbit...
Yes?
Every time I smelled catnip, I turned a somersault. Come on, Doc.
Mr. Moody still has that hang cat look, I must say. Oh, well, what will a knock at this door bring?
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Weinstein Churchill.
Tell me, Mrs. N., has the meat strike bothered you?
I am in a dilemma.
Dilemma?
There is such a word.
Oh, yes. Yes, dilemma is a word. You might have read it someplace.
I'm only reading broken English.
Oh.
As I am speaking, so I am reading.
Oh, fine.
Why be deceitful? Who am I fooling?
Well, I see your point, yes. I agree with you thoroughly. But what about the meat shortage?
Confidentially, we are having well in hand the situation.
You had some old meat stored up, did you?
Oh, no. My husband, Pierre, is buying a goat. A second-hand billy.
A second-hand? A used goat. A live goat?
The first night, we are locking him in the clothes closet.
I see.
During the night, the goat is eating the backs off of 3 of Pierre's union suits.
Oh, gosh.
The next day, the goat Pierre is killing and we are having for dinner.
Well, after eating the backs off 3 union suits, how did the goat taste?
Like flapjacks, but delicious.
Oh, I... And that brings us to the little vine-covered shanty at the end of the alley. A knock here should certainly start something.
Shout huzzah, scream adjectives flowery. Falstaff is here, the bard of the Bowery.
Well, Falstaff. Something tells me that you have new poems for us tonight.
Oh, indubitably. Have you heard? When they pinched Uncle Charlie, his excuse was a honey. He claimed he was in the bank just feeling the money.
No, I haven't heard that.
Or, the jukebox was playing I'm Confessin'. Has she lured me into the delicatessen?
No. No.
How about this? Mother, please don't point father at me. He may be loaded again.
Now, wait a minute. Please. Tonight, we are simply discussing the meat strike.
Precisely why I am here. I would bark some doggerel.
Well, what is your meat poem called?
Joy reigns supreme in the stockyards.
Uh-huh. How does it go?
Joy reigns supreme in the stockyards. When the meat strike was called through the nation, the cattle doomed to die in their pens gave the news tremendous ovation. A little ram frisked with his ewe. A Holstein kissed one of the steers. A big shaggy heifer danced round like a zephyr. A brindle cow mooed out 3 cheers. Yes, joy reigned supreme in the stockyards. Chicago's ne'er seen such a sight. A jubilant ox jumped up on a box and yelled, "Ah, there's good news tonight."
And as Bard Openshaw skulks to the wings, we turn to our melodic misses, the 5 DeMarco sisters. Tonight, accompanied by Al Goodman and his poor man's philharmonic, the DeMarco sing Hubba Hubba from the new picture, Doll Face.
Hubba, 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 hubba. Hello, Jack. hubba, hubba, hubba. Just got back. Well, the hubba, hubba, hubba. Shoot some breeze, say whatever happened to the Japanese. Hubba, hubba.
I'll say, as you heard.
Hubba, hubba, hubba. We got the word. We got it from a guy who was in the know. It was mighty smoky over Tokyo. A friend of mine in a B-29 dropped another load for log. As he flew away, he was there to stay. Hubba, hubba, mop, mop. I got another mission. That's okay. And we didn't have permission. Well, I'll just say, hubba, 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 be on your way. And I dig you later in the USA.
Friend of mine in a B-29 dropped another load. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, I got another mission, and that's very okay. And we just got permission. Well, I'll just say, hubba, 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 be on your way. And I'll take you later in the USA. Hubba, 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 take you later in the USA.
And now, a helpful hint about the family table.
Whatever concerns the family table is important to us all, and here's a good example. I'll bet you can all bake good biscuits, ladies. Tender, light, fluffy, mouth-melting. And here's a spread just made to go on these super biscuits of yours. Blue Bonnet Margarine. For Blue Bonnet gives you flavor, nutrition, economy. All three. Blue Bonnet has a delicious flavor. Fresh, delicate, country sweet. You'll say no spread at any price ever gave you more delicious eating. Blue Bonnet gives you proved nutrition, too. It's rich in food energy, rich in vitamin A. As for economy, you'll find Blue Bonnet saves you real money. Why, it costs so little, you can spread it on twice as thick. And remember, Blue Bonnet Margarine is a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast, a name that down through the years has always stood for quality. Be sure to ask your grocer for Blue Bonnet tomorrow. Remember the letters FNE for flavor, nutrition, economy. Blue Bonnet Margarine gives all three. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
That was just a few flakes from Let It Snow, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his racing form rhythm boys. Say, yes, Portland?
Shall I pile these letters here?
If you will, please. Those are the last of the Jack Benny contest letters. I've been up three nights reading them. You know, I'm one of the judges. And speaking of letters, Portland reminds me, could you get your pencil, please? I want to dictate a letter.
I'm all ready.
You're ready? We'll take this down. Mr. George Jessel, 20th Century Fox Studios. Dear Mr. Jessel, you are a rap, capital R. Signed, yours sincerely, Fred Allen. Get that off instantly.
Well, I thought you and Georgie were friends.
I'll never speak to Jessel again unless I happen to get a wrong number.
Gosh, what happened?
Well, last week, Mr. Jessel was here in New York. You know, he's a big producer for 20th Century Fox Pictures now, and I received a note saying that Mr. Jessel wanted to see me. So I got all dressed up, got my cane out of Simpsons, and started for Mr. Jessel's office. When I arrived at the 20th Century Fox building, I found Mr. Jessel's office, a big nylon door, and I knocked on the door.
Come in, come in.
Georgie Jessel. Well, Georgie.
Excuse me, Fred. I'm on the phone at the moment. Hello, Lidget Drugstore. This is Georgie Jessel speaking. I want 6 boxcars of Bromo Seltzer sent out to my studio in Hollywood right away. Okay.
Georgie, 6 boxcars of Bromo Seltzer?
It's for my new picture, Fred.
Bromo Seltzer?
Yes, I'm making a sequel to The Lost Weekend. It's called Saratoga Drunk.
Oh.
Laugh, son. What's the matter with you?
Saratoga Drunk sounds like a great picture.
Well, it's a new idea, Fred. An elephant drinks too much and sees 200 pink Sabus.
200? Only in Hollywood could you possibly pick up 200 pink Sabus. And Hollywood, I must say, has surely changed you, Georgie. Those clothes you have on.
Oh, well, this is my working suit, Fred. shirt happens to have a pink dicky, but nobody notices.
No. A mink? It's mink, isn't it? It isn't pink. It's a mink dicky.
That's right.
And it goes well.
That's right.
Goes well.
It says... It says pink here, but I'll say mink anyway.
It goes well with that fur mandarin coat you have on.
Yes, this is genuine grizzly bear. Instead of the belt in the back, it has a big paw hanging down.
Oh, well,
this paw is spelled paw.
A big paw. But as you are, you Hollywood tycoons with your paws hanging down on the back, I suppose you're still living in that house out in Beverly Hills that looks like the Rose Bowl with Venetian blinds.
Oh, you should see it now, Fred. I've got all the grass dyed white.
You have white grass?
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
Well, when the newsboy throws the paper on the lawn, the color shouldn't clash.
You see? That's
well, I've got lavender trees and a pink hedge and a plaid sidewalk.
Well, say, this riot of colors must be causing plenty of comment.
What comment?
Nobody even notices it.
In Hollywood, who takes off the dark glasses?
Oh, I see. Georgie, I wonder what would happen if one day everybody in Hollywood took off their dark glasses and all of the people got a good look at each other.
This is a horrible thought, Fred.
But tell me about your house, Georgie. You have a swimming pool, of course.
I have the biggest pool in Hollywood.
Well, how big is it?
Well, when you stand on one side of the pool...
Yes?
From the other side, you can hear voices yelling. When are they going to send us home?
That's how big your pool is. Well, you're a great success, Georgie. I saw your last picture, the Dolly Sisters. It was swell.
Well, what I did for the Dolly Sisters, Fred, I can do for you. As a matter of fact, that's why I sent for you.
Really?
I want to produce the story of your life.
The story of my life?
Yes. It'll be bigger than Daryl Zanuck's Leave It to Heaven. I had to get it in.
But Georgie, I know they have a big whip out there when you leave on the plane. But, Georgie, what actor could you possibly get to play my life? Don Ameche?
No, Ameche's tied up.
Really?
You know, with the telephone situation. He's sorry he started the whole thing. No, there's only one man to play your life, Fred, and that is you.
You mean that I will be the star?
Star? Why, it's your life. Everybody else in the picture is just the stooge.
I'm the whole picture.
Yes, Fred, there's just one little thing.
Yes, Georgie.
Well, now, you know how Alfred Hitchcock always sneaks into some scene in every picture that he directs.
Yes, you always see Mr. Hitchcock in the crowd trying to get into the automat with his nickel out or something.
That's right, that's right. Now, do you mind if I do just a little bit like that in your picture?
A little bit? Of course not, George.
You know, they'll just see the back of my head maybe in a barber's chair, or maybe I'll run past the camera with a push cart fast.
Nobody will see it.
Suppose we just call that a producer's whim, if you
will. Well, anything you say, Georgie. Now, what is this story like?
All right, the picture opens with the 20th Century Fox signature music.
George Jessel presents
The Life of Fred Allen,
starring Fred Allen.
Say... That's wonderful, Georgie. Now what happened?
Now, as the story opens, Fred, you are 4 years old.
Now, wait a minute. Well, how can I play a four-year-old kid?
Fred, our makeup man can do anything, really.
But I'm 6 feet tall. How can I be a kid?
You play the whole first scene on your knees.
On my knees?
Yeah, we'll glue some shoes on your kneecaps. Nobody will know the difference.
Well, if I walk on my knees, my arms will be dragging on the ground.
So we'll double up your arms, stick little false fingers on your elbows.
Well, after I'm made up, what do I do in the picture?
Well, the story opens in Illinois. Now, you see,
now,
Fred...
Wait a minute, Georgie. I was born in Boston, in Massachusetts.
I know that, Fred, but we have an old Illinois set left on the lot from another picture.
What picture?
Home in Indiana.
Home in Indiana.
Now, Fred, if you're going to question
everything... No, you're the producer, Georgie. Go
on. All right. The picture opens. It is morning.
To little Freddie Allen, starting out in life, the world is a glorious adventure. He is on his way to school, happy, carefree. But see, he stops. The little tyke is worried. Is he late for school? By the side of the road, he sees a gaunt, lean man chopping logs. Hurrying over to this woodchopper, little Freddie says...
Sir, what is the time?
The time, my son? It's time for every American to stop and ponder. Our country is at the crossroads. Sit down on this log, son. I'm only a rail splitter myself. My name is Lincoln. Abe Lincoln.
Now, wait a minute.
I wrote a talk, but I'm going to make it. My boy,
I'd like you to hear it and tell me what you think of it. Sit down on the log and I'll read it for you.
Look, now wait.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation.
Now look,
conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition.
Now wait a minute. Stop the music. Stop the music.
Now what's the matter, Fred? What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the life of Fred Allen. It starts out, the whole thing is Abraham Lincoln.
Now, Fred, who is sitting there on the log listening to Abraham Lincoln? You. Now, the way the camera said, whose face is the audience? See, yours. And I want to tell you something. You were great.
I was great, yes. I didn't do anything.
You don't understand pictures, Fred.
Well, look, I...
Now, do you realize what America owes you? If you hadn't let Lincoln try out his Gettysburg Address on you, he might have gotten discouraged and torn up the whole business. Well, I can't you hear people saying, why, if it wasn't for little Fred Allen, the Civil War might still be going on.
Now, but George, if I was 4 years old when Lincoln was a rail splitter, today I'd be 125 years of age.
Who listens, who cares about such things in pictures? Maybe a couple of history professors who are sitting in the balcony, that's all. Or Joel Kupperman. Now, pay no attention to it. Just wait till you see this next thing.
Am I in it?
Am I in it? He says, am I in it? It's all you, Fred. You're a young man, but you have taken to drink.
Drink?
Yes, you're living in Albany. It's apple country, and you're a cider fiend.
I'm full of cider, huh?
Yeah, you're full of cider. Now you have to make a decision. What will it be, cider or success? As the scene opens, it's the waterfront. The camera's on a jug of cider in your hand. It's clutching that jug.
Will young Fred Allen be picked up by Cider Anonymous? See, he awakens, still in a stupor. He staggers up to a man standing next to a boat on the dock. Allen speaks.
Mister, what day is this?
What day is this, young man? Today is a new day in American navigation. My name is Fulton, Robert Fulton.
Now, wait a minute.
In a few minutes... I'm testing my steamboat, the Clermont. That's why this crowd is here, right? Folks, in a minute you'll see a miracle, a boat driven by steam.
Fulton's father.
All right. All right, laugh, you fools, but I'll show you. I told you my boat would go today. I'll steam down the river.
Steam's up, Mr. Fulton. Steam's up.
All right, cast those ropes and start the engine. Watch my steam.
Keepers, the Clermont!
I told you it would. Anchors away!
Now, wait a minute. Stop the Clermont! Stop the music! Georgie, wait a minute.
Now, what's the matter, Fred? What?
Matter? This is the story of my life. I'm already 25 years old, and so far in my whole life, I have spoken twice. I have asked two questions.
Fred, you don't understand pictures.
I don't understand pictures, but Georgie, if I only had some lines to say, at least I could pull the whistle on the boat.
A star pulls whistles on a boat?
But what is Robert Fulton?
Look, you don't get the significance, Fred.
I did something again?
Certainly you did. You see, when Fulton faced that mob of scoffers, he was about to give up. Yes. But he saw in the crowd one face that encouraged him. The camera closes in. This face that he saw, this is yours.
You mean that I'm there on the dock?
Why, if it wasn't for you today, there would be no Fulton Fish Market. There'd be no steam. There'd be no Turkish bass. No steam. Tailors would be pressing pants by hand.
But, Georgie...
Stop complaining, will you? Because the rest of the picture is all you.
Well, it's about time. Now, what happens now?
Next scene opens down south. Uh-huh. You started a new life, Fred. You got a job.
Good.
You're
good.
On your way to rent a room. And as we fade in, you're walking up the stairs of an old southern mansion.
Sounds good.
Yes, Fred Allen has made a comeback. He has work. His eyes are bright. The world is before him. He knocks on the door of the old southern mansion. Kindly old man with snow-white hair opens the door.
Pardon me, sir. Have you a room to rent?
Come right in, son, and set yourself down. My name is Foster, Stephen Foster.
Now, wait a minute.
Honey, I wrote a new song this morning, and I want to sing it for you.
Now, look, George.
Way down upon the Suwannee River,
music. This is the last straw.
All right, now what?
What is this picture? The life of Fred Allen or a George Jessel cavalcade?
What do you mean?
Now stop stalling, Jessel. You were just going to put the back of your head in my picture. Now first the picture, you're Lincoln, then you're Fulton, now you're Stephen Foster. When do you show up as Florence Nightingale?
Who showed you the script?
Never mind. How does the picture end?
How does the picture end? Every picture fades out with a kiss.
Don't tell me you're a contortionist and you kiss yourself.
Now listen, Fred Allen, I'm the producer.
And listen, George Jessel, I'm the star. If this is the life of Fred Allen, I won't stand
for it. All right, I'll tell you what to do. Drop dead and it'll make your life a two real short.
Fine, well, I'll do that. Make an appointment. Kenny, with a short talk on the American woman.
Ever since Priscilla married John Alden, the fame of the American woman has been growing.
And Ian put the bluebonnet margarine back in the icebox. I want to thank Georgie Jessel for joining us tonight. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday night, the Fred Allen Show brings you comedy. Drama.
But Henrietta, you're too young to die.
Oh, yeah, hand me that peroxide.
And our guest will be...
that writer of hit tunes, Johnny Mercer.
Thank you, and good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.